Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives and compels us toward gratitude and generosity.
Hey, welcome back to our Imprint podcast, Abound in Hope. I am Tom, and this is
Tom McGregor.
Yes, yeah, so we got two Toms here now at Imprint. How's that been going for you?
That's
so
awful.
Far?
It's so hard to remember which Tom is which.
Right, it's confusing.
People and I still just haven't gotten used to people calling me by my last name.
McGregor is what we like to call him sometimes. I do, at least. So today we are talking about the word unity and the concept of unity in the church. And just to kind of back up a little bit and talk about the whole point of the podcast is really to be building a certain kind of culture at Imprint Church. We want to be a healthy church. And so we're going through these seven, what we call vital signs or markers of health. And so today is unity. We want to be people that's focused on Jesus, people who are expressing our gratitude to God and our whole life generosity in response to the good news of Jesus and his kingdom. And we want to make and multiply disciples, not just simply add people to a building, not just add people to the church in that sense, but multiply, like reproduction of disciples of Jesus. And we want to be a people who are doing this together on mission. And so that brings us to this topic of unity as we are seeing ourselves growing together and on the same mission to make and multiply disciples through the gospel of Jesus Christ and impacting the world for Jesus with a kind of faith and hope and love that produces freedom and joy for our families, our neighborhoods, our cities, and ultimately our world. So that sounds pretty good, right? So
yeah. So
how does unity factor into that? Like, what are we talking about today, McGregor? What brings us to the topic?
Yeah, I think unity gets thrown around a lot. As with like any culture, a culture has words,
right.
And it's one of those Christian words that
right.
people talk about a lot. I think for me, when I first started hearing it, I thought more about uniformity
okay.
than real unity, like everybody looking like the same, doing the same
thing. So how would
things.
You define uniformity?
Yeah, uniformity, I mean, like the image I like is a body made of toes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know,
I
just
saw
totally
that in your
disgusting.
Notes, and honestly, I began to get a little bit of the, you know, the pre-throw-up salty spits in your mouth.
Yeah.
Like when,
yeah.
It's just a gross thought.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bunch of salty toes, like,
yeah.
stuck together. It forms the shape of a body, but it's a body made out of toes. So
right.
it
everything's the same.
It's gross.
Yeah.
It's gross. It's lifeless. It can't do anything.
Right. You can't function as a body of toes.
No,
right.
Which, you know, the real definition of unity is beautiful and biblical, and it's really helpful that they use the body as an image,
right.
And they're not talking about body made out of toes.
Right, right. And we know that Paul uses that image, right?
Yeah, yeah.
1 Corinthians 12.
Yep, Romans 12.
Romans 12
wow. I mean, all over the New Testament.
Yeah, should I just read this here? Romans
yeah.
12, just as mm-hmm. each of us has one body with many members, and not all members have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many are one body, and each member belongs to one another.
Yeah, so that's like a beautiful picture of unity, right? Like, to think about parts going together to create a whole
mm-hmm.
Makes a lot of sense to me. There's a diversity in that unity. Thankfully, I only have 10 toes and
right.
not like,
right.
I mean, even worse would be 20 toes. Like
right.
I'd still be functioning, but it'd be like, anyway, gross and weird. Sorry to gross you
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is part of the, I mean, it sounds absurd, right? It sounds absurd that we're saying that, but actually that
well,
is
Corinthians.
What, that's what Paul says, right? He says in, the lighting's a little hard.
Yeah.
There.
Corinthians 12. Or where are you going?
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 12. But as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Right up above that, he says, no one should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong
right.
to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, or according to McGregor, toes. Right?
Yeah, not to throw shade at toes.
Right.
Like, we
right.
need them.
Right, they're important, but gross.
Yeah.
Because I did not say, because I am not an eye, you can't say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of be of hearing? And so God has arranged, keep reading down, God has arranged each part of the body as he chose,
mm-hmm.
as he chose, so that it would function together in unity.
Yeah. So a good definition of unity is always going to include a diversity coming together for a whole, but it also is not just this lifeless body. Mm-hmm. The body has a purpose. Right. Things have to function together. The idea of activity is in there.
But could we say that unity on its own is kind of like morally neutral?
Yeah. I believe you could.
Or you could be united in doing horrible things.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You like power. You know, there's a lot of things that our culture throws shade at that are actually neutral, and we just see a lot of the idea, whatever it is, power or unity, being used poorly. I think about the German church in Nazi Germany uniting itself with a socialist party for evil, atrocious things. That is bad.
Right.
The good thing about the kind of unity that that Paul and the apostles and Jesus talk about is that it's very defined by a particular source, some very particular components, and a very particular activity and outcome.
So are you saying there's a function for the unity? What are the parts or the components that you're talking about, and what's the purpose of unity? When we're talking unity in terms of the biblical sense now, what's the purpose of biblical unity? What are the parts of it?
Yeah, I think you hear union with Christ or unified with Christ a lot in the mystics, in the patristics, and depending on what you think they're talking about, it's in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Whoever is united with the Lord is one with Him in spirit." And so Christian unity comes first and foremost from our union with Jesus. We have been united to Him in His death and resurrection. We belong to Him. There's a lot of different ways of talking about that. But Christian unity is distinct because it comes from Jesus first and foremost.
We're united in Christ first. There's not unity
between you and
one another unless we are first unified to Christ.
Yeah.
But because we're connected to Christ, we're united to Him. He's the head of the body. Now we are said to be parts of that body, and therefore we are unified.
Yeah.
But only in Christ is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise it's not Christian unity. Right. We can unify ourselves to other organizations. We can get a lot of good work done in the city. But that's not explicitly what Jesus is talking about when He talks about Christian unity.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that's important. We have to start in the right place. But then it has all these components. And, I've put a few in here. Right. We have a shared truth. So, Christians have this content, that we share belief in, and certainly there's some diversity in there. Mm-hmm. But unity comes when we believe the same things about the clear, message of Scripture. There are things that are unclear, like who the Nephilim were, but the essentials for salvation, like we can be unified around that. So, when I'm thinking about some of the barriers to Christian unity, I usually, doctrine typically comes to the top of the list. And so there's like some things that are worth dying for.
Right.
And those are the things that are necessary for salvation and so clear in Scripture that the majority of Christian history has never disagreed on them.
Right. Yeah.
But then there's other stuff, secondary, tertiary issues that
we can be unified in Christ, but we don't have to fight each other and divide necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a triage, right,
of
issues. What has been, we can go a different direction if you want, but what has been your experience with unity in the church in terms of like that idea of that we're in something together for a purpose, a good God-given ordained purpose? Like, what's your experience of unity in the church?
Really early on, I got involved with this ministry that was working with marginalized people groups in the city. And I had never served anywhere in my life that wasn't self-serving.
Yeah,
because
you were a new Christian.
Yeah,
at this
brand
point.
New Christian. Right. Didn't know anything about anything. I wouldn't have even been able to like articulate the gospel other than Jesus loves me, He saved me, took care of my sin and shame, and like some very basic stuff.
Yeah, right.
And I went down to this opportunity to serve, and I saw. 350 Christians from all over the city and all over the suburbs surrounding Portland coming together. There was like a real rudimentary message, you know, 5 minutes of somebody sharing something personal out of the Bible. We all sang some songs that were like really simple, like Amazing Grace and Lord Prepare Me. That might have been the first worship song I like actually knew. And everybody sang together, different traditions. You know, you've got like high church people. And then we went as a community of Jesus-believing servants down under this bridge and served the city. And it was amazing. It was like we're unified in our love for Jesus and our care for the poor, our identification with the poor. It was profound, and it did and accomplished amazing things.
So that's an example of how unity and purpose go together, that you are united in Christ, but you're not called to any sort of like neutral ground. You're called into something, and you're unified in a, it's directional.
It's directional,
It's directional, I guess you could say.
Yeah, so, what's your experience with unity been?
I think I would say that when we were building a launch team to launch Imprint Bothell, there was unity there because here's a group of people that are committed to Jesus Christ, to the furtherance of his gospel, to making and multiplying, you know, disciples of Jesus who live gratefully and generously, and we were on mission together. We're saying, hey, we're going to do this together. And this is you know, a diverse group of people in terms of backgrounds, life experiences, education, income, coming together and saying we are united in Christ and we're going to go do this together. So I saw a beautiful picture of unity there. And then speaking of the parts of the body, it was really interesting because God's given me, you know, a couple of gifts here and there, and I'm like a one-trick pony, really. And there's a lot that I don't know how to do. And so in some ways, my lack of gifting helped me to see the beauty of God's design of diversity in the church coming together. And I would see where people were gifted and where they were passionate to serve, and we're just trying to help fit people into those roles. And I've really gotten to see firsthand, front row, eyewitness, like, view of how the body of Christ comes together, how the hand and the feet work together. Yeah. So it's been a really cool picture. That's been my experience, and just praising God for his wisdom in arranging the parts. So that's the thing, you know, when I would think, oh gosh, I wish I were more gifted, I wish I were better at doing this, I would come back to this text here in 1 Corinthians and says, as it is, God has arranged each part of the body as he chose, as he sovereignly chose.
Good thing, because he's got wisdom.
Right, he's got wisdom more than I do. So I could say, gosh, I wish I were more this way, I wish I were more administrative, or I wish I was more of a visionary in this way. And God says, hey, I gave you what I gave you for a purpose, and I have gifted and called other people to fit those roles within the body so that you will see how this diversity works in a unified body. Yeah. So that's been pretty cool.
Yeah, it reminds me of John 17, which we'll get to in a couple weeks in our sermon series. So I'm jumping the gun, guys, whoever's preaching on it. In John 17, let's see, where did I put it? I may have...
I got it here.
You got it?
Oh, yeah. Here, I'll give you my
there
notes.
We go. So, Jesus, you know, prays like the longest prayer in the New Testament, which is super epic. And he says right here in John 17, 20, I'm not asking on behalf of just these disciples alone, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, united with Christ. United with the triune God, so that the world may believe that you sent me is for the purpose of witness.
So there's a witness component, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, think about it practically. If we are a people who name the name of Jesus and we're fractured and divided and fighting and backstabbing and conniving and slandering, like, what kind of witness is that?
Well, there's no miracle in that.
No,
that's the rest of the world.
Yeah, there's no miracle in that. Yeah. But there is a miracle in bringing people from all kinds of different backgrounds and educational levels and ethnicities and cultures together, unified in Jesus.
Yeah.
And that says, oh, there is something to this.
Yeah,
this
I mean,
can't
like,
be a man-made effort.
No, you think about our current just polarity in America.
Right. The climate.
Wouldn't it be amazing if all of a sudden, like, bitter enemies came together and were like, for the cause of Jesus, we're unified.
Right.
People would be like, no way. Where, you know, who's trying to get reelected, or who's trying to fundraise?
Right.
There's this purpose in unity for Jesus. And I think beyond just that purpose, there's a goal in unity. So there's this yeah. purpose in unity, but then there's this eventual goal that we
right.
will see in the future.
Right. What are some, it's going to hopefully draw this to a close a little bit here, what are some practical steps that we can take toward unity, and what role does relationship play?
Yeah. I think for me, when I've been thinking through this unity piece and trying to wrap my head around it, what I kept on returning to was Genesis 1 and 2.
Okay.
The original intention of humanity was a diversity, male and female. Mm-hmm. You know, Genesis right. 1, like right. male and female right. together, co-equal rulers right. with God in a cosmos that is like united in worship mm-hmm. to him. Like, that's what we're
diversity,
made for.
You see unity. Unity in their diversity because he made them male and female.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
And then you go into chapter 2, and the two shall become one flesh.
Yep, right back together.
Right. And even there when he says, let us make man in our image.
Yeah.
So so there's a hint of the Trinity there,
right.
the triune God. I think you put something in your notes here that said that this unity and diversity that we have in the body of Christ really is ultimately to point a picture of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy mm-hmm. Spirit, and that's really a worshipful thing. I thought that was
yeah.
insightful.
Man, unity has the ability to undergird our witness, to make it believable, because
right.
it's a miracle, but it also images God as we were meant to image God. And so what I think about as far as like practical steps, mm-hmm. it's relationship. They'll know you are my mm-hmm. disciples by your love for one another.
Right. And how can you love one another if you're not in relationship
yeah,
with one another?
Yeah, you got to have relationship. And I think for me, my wife's a counselor, and she reminds me of this often. I need to grow in my ability to listen, to learn and to develop empathy. My fiery, like I know the truth, and the truth shall set you free if you would just believe it too. Mm-hmm. That temperament has a way of making me think that empathy is actually mm-hmm. endorsement. Mm-hmm. Empathy is not endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to empathize with somebody's experience, in the church, in the world
right.
is crucial for developing yeah. unity. And then also, like to your point earlier, I think, man, it just like really practically think about what are you good at? What do you love to do?
Mm-hmm.
What do people consistently give you opportunity to do? And say, hey, thanks for doing that. That was really
right.
helpful.
Right.
You know, like
as a way to figure out what
you're
gifting
yeah.
you are and where you can plug in and serve.
Totally. And like that, Jesus calls people to be his disciples for their own good.
Right.
Like
yeah.
he wants our joy that
right.
he's after our
right.
joy.
Right.
And so to serve isn't like, oh, this is my time and I'll give a little bit
mm-hmm.
of it, or
right.
to use
right.
your gifts is
yeah.
actually the way you become more fully human alive.
And I think for Christians who have discovered and used their gifts, they would have to agree. Like when I do this, I find joy in this. I find
yeah.
satisfaction in this. And so we are told that we are finding life when we're losing our life. When we lose our life for others for the sake of Jesus
yeah.
and his gospel, and we're pouring out, that's when we actually find and experience life and joy. Now, granted, there is a effort and energy that's expended, but then you got to get refilled. So we're not just telling people to serve themselves into the grave,
right?
right. right? But to just consume and not be a part of the body in any meaningful contributing way is actually not the best for you. You're robbing yourself of joy. And so I tell people, like, when I was an early Christian, young Christian, I would take these spiritual inventory gifts, and I'm like, I had no idea, like, what my gifts were. And just over time, I discovered God had given me some speaking gifts and teaching gifts, and then he gave me opportunities to exercise those, and then I would get affirmed by that and be given more opportunities. And so I've consistently tried to tell people through the years, one of the ways that we can work toward unity in the body is by simply figuring out what you're good at, what God's gifted you to do, and you find joy in doing that. And then when you do it, people affirm you, again, what you're
yeah.
saying. And then as you do that, you are contributing to the body. So in Ephesians 4, somewhere in there, I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but it says, as each part does its work.
Mm-hmm.
So if we truly are a body, then if we're working toward unity, then there's something to do. It is give of yourself.
Yeah,
and,
it's
and,
like
and
building
serve
up.
And serve.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I think Revelation is like one of my favorite books, because it's about something that I don't think it is.
Yeah.
But Revelation 7 and Revelation 22 talks about what life with God in new creation is going to look like. And it's people from every tribe, mm-hmm. every nation, right. every walk of life, right. from all time right. coming together in unity to right. worship yeah. and to like be in relationship with this incredible living God.
It's an awesome picture. And they're gathered around
yeah.
the throne.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Of God and the Lamb. And so again, it's another visual picture of our unity with one another being connected to Jesus Christ,
yep.
our Savior. So yeah. hopefully this has given you guys some good things to think about this week. Thankful for the time that you would spend with us, McGregor, Tom.
Appreciate it, Tom. Yeah, thanks, man.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.